So what we did learn from that lesson, which was really important, first and most important thing, every time we go into school, the first question I ask is, what is archaeology? What do archaeologists do? First thing they always say is, you dig up dinosaurs. I would be rich for the amount of times they've actually told me that. You dig up dinosaurs, Miss. And horrified when they say, no, we wouldn't be interested in those, we throw them away. No, we never find dinosaur bones. So we need to get that message across to school children that what we're actually interested in is the human past. So we don't dig up dinosaurs, and unlike amazing things that happen in Indiana Jones and Lara Croft, we don't find zombies and evil spirits or tons of gold either. So what we do is dig up the human past. So we investigate through post-excavation analysis what people use with their artifacts, how people live, their animal bones and plant remains, where they live, the building material that we find, where and how they died, burial sites. And basically, archaeology is dead people and lots of rubbish. And if you put that point over, the kids really enjoy that. So how do we deliver our programme? We do it with a dedicated team of student volunteers. This has been going on since 2003. The first visit I made were with fellow academic staff. It didn't work very well. And it was interesting because these two come back and said, oh, I never want to do that again. I said, why? I said, it's horrible. The kids weren't listening to me. I said, no, you didn't know how to engage them. You didn't know how to communicate in a totally different way to how you communicate with your students because they're a different age group. But you should never be fooled into thinking that because they're younger that you need to talk in a sort of baby talk way, you know, because sometimes they come out with questions that totally blow you away. So I thought, well, let's try it with students. Some of the students said, oh, we're interested, we'll come out with you and give it a go. And it's been brilliant because some of the students since, is Susie in the top picture there and in the middle, she's now a heritage and education officer at the Sir John Moore Foundation out in the county, and she's won awards for using archaeology to work with children at risk of exclusion and have serious behavioural problems, drug problems and so forth. David down the bottom here, he graduated from his PGC last year, worked at Samworth Academy in Leicester, school in an area of deprivation. Said to me when he started working there, I would like to set up an after-school archaeology ancient history club. So we've been supporting him and giving him materials. We also came up with the idea to start to build a Roman road in part of the playground area. We want to expand that by building a Roman wall and encourage those parents that are builders and plasterers to come and work with the children to do it, so it's more of a community-based project. And then perhaps even take it even further and do mosaic and perhaps get some of the mums to come in and help. So that's work we've just started last year. So far it's going really well. David's absolutely determined he's going to do more of this work. I've been 25 children in year 6, 10, 11-year-olds, who put their hand up and he said, has anyone been to Jewry War Museum? And not one of them had ever been to the museum. And he said, right, that's why I'm going to do this. I'm determined we're going to do more of this. And then that started me thinking about all the other schools in Leicester where there might be children in the same situation. They're not lucky enough to have parents that will engage and take them to museums to learn about history and to learn about the past. So I can see that's an area that we can help with. And also giving our students the opportunity to go in and deliver these clubs. So it helps their employability if they want to go into school education or museum education at a later date. So we do work in the classrooms, we go into primary schools. Based on everything we did at that first school visit to Ashby Hilltop, we offer 5 activities where we look at animal bones, plant remains, drawing artifacts because it's part of the recording process, looking at Roman pottery, different types of Roman pottery. And for most children, when they go to museums, they can see these things in display cases, but quite often they're not allowed to actually touch them. And this is what the teachers were saying, especially children with special needs, you know, having that tactile experience, being able to pick something up, and you say it's 2,000 years old, it's like, whoa, you know, it does register with them. And the last activity is chronology. That's an interesting one, because we could visit one year 5 one day, and they're doing the Romans. We'll go to another school the following day, it's a year 6 or year 3, they're doing the Victorians. And it's all back to front, it's all jumbled up. So some of the children do get a bit confused about some of our dating when we talk about dating archaeology. So we start off the activity with a load of mobile phones. Throw a load of mobile phones in the middle of the table and say, right, go through them, look at the features, look at how they're made, can you tell us what they do? And then we want you to put them in chronological order. And they actually get their heads around that quite quickly. They start. It gets a bit embarrassing when they start recognising phones that you had, say, 10 years ago. They say, oh, that's really old, isn't it? Yeah, it's mine. But when they get their head around that, we then put a big timeline out across the table, going from prehistory to early medieval, and we have pictures of people in costumes from that period, pictures of the houses, and we put a big bag of artifacts on the table. So, right, you've got to do the same thing now, but you're actually doing it from artifacts from the past. We want you to look at them, handle them, tell us what do you think they're made of, what do you think they are, what they were used for, and then most importantly, can you tell me where in history you think that comes? And we've talked a bit about technology and manufacture within the session, materials. We've got a trick one in there. We've got a huge, big Anglo-Saxon loom weight, which looks like a big stone donor, and they always put it up in prehistory because they say, it's made of stone, this, so it must be prehistoric. Ah, no, it actually belongs down here in the Anglo-Saxon period. But why? That doesn't make sense. Because nowadays, the technology is moving so fast that really something you brought last year is probably out of date within 2 years, and the design's been changed. But if you think back far in history, they didn't have these fancy machines. People were making these artefacts. So it took time to make them. It could cost money to make them. So obviously they're going to look after them. And also, if it's a design that basically works, why change it? Again, you know, it gets them thinking about the artefacts. And we've said, you know, we could be caught out as well. So you have to be very, very careful looking at the evidence that you've got. Outside the classroom, we've helped with school digs, projects that perhaps children are doing. We've tied into after-school archaeology clubs, which is a new one. On campus, then, we work very closely with the University Schools and College Service team, who basically focus most of the secondary schools. They offer masterclasses, gifted talent in the summer schools. I've got a summer school coming up for year 12, so these are pupils that are just about to go to university, and they actually want to learn a bit about archaeology. So they can spend 2.5 days with us, 1 day on campus in the labs doing various activities, and 1 day up at our field school actually digging. Off campus, again, we go out and do different lectures for schools and colleges, summer schools. Borough RNH Hillfort, if anybody's not been up there yet, I highly recommend it, but then I would because I work for the project. It's up near Melton Mowbray. It's Borough Hill Country Park. It's one of the county council country parks. But when you go there, it's actually a huge RNH Hillfort, and we're in the fourth year of excavations up there. So we've got an open day on the 30th of June that you can go and visit, and then we get a guided tour around the site and tell you all about the history. So that's Sunday the 30th of June. Right, that's my publicity bit over. But we've had summer schools where we've taken children. These were year 14, 15-year-olds on the bottom picture that were from the old Riverside School, which has now been closed by the City Council. And it was a very last year in the school. So the head of our schools and college services, we work closely with them, said, you know, I'd like if we can possibly get them on campus and give them that experience. Because most of those won't go to university, but it was just opening up their eyes into what possibilities that they were. Community outreach, we more and more get involved with Heritage Days. I don't know if anybody managed to come to the big open day we had back in January. We hosted the Society of Historical Archaeology's conference, which is a big American organisation, and they always traditionally have an open day at the end of it. So we used the O2 Academy on campus, and we had about 50 of the odd exhibitors from the county. So there were the museums, there was a lot of the local history, archaeology groups, field walkers, Leicester field walkers, and some of the national groups like National Trust, English Heritage, and reenactors, because I'm a big fan of reenactment. I think if you can bring history to life, they can do it, because they really know what they're talking about. They're passionate about these periods of history and have their spare rooms full of armour and all sorts of things. So they're, and especially with children, the children engage with them straight away. It brings history to life for them. We also do work with the Leicester Young Archaeologists Club. That was a session on how to textiles. So we talked about felting and weaving and the sort of textiles that we find in an archaeological site. And then that's Archie, one of our third years, who's now left and is in the army, trained to be an officer, working with one of the injured soldiers from Afghanistan, digging a hypocaust. And they build up quite good relationships with them. So I now have a community archaeology trainee that's been funded through the Council for British Archaeology with me for a year. He's brilliant. And he wants to work with children at risk of exclusion. So that's another possibility of our outreach programme expanding even further. Right, so resources, which is what you're actually interested in. Project 1, Borough RNH Hillfort. In 2010, we started doing our student training research project up there. And it's one of the finest examples of large RNH Hillfort in the Midlands. So a key objective right from the beginning of this project was to make provision for community involvement, increasing the public understanding and enjoyment of the monument. So schools and community groups all around the county are invited to come and take advantage of this opportunity to take part in the Hill project. So we've got schools that come in for 3 weeks of the 6-week season for guided tours and finds handling sessions. And then we've got groups, some of the Leicestershire field workers have been working with, especially the Melton field work groups. So they've actually been working on site, helping us with surveying and digging. And then we have the public open day as well. So these are just some photos of some of the activities going on. So Young Archaeologists Club up there, they come up for a day. Anna, who's sitting on the floor there in the red T-shirt, she's one of our postgrads who's paid to do all the public outreach up inside there. So she's talking to children about fines. And these were from the public open day last year. I quite like that one, the two little kids with the stripy tops. Quite sweet. So resources, what sort of resources have we come up with? Well, they're just being revised. We've got posters that go up every year. We've got a website. If you'd like to pass those. We don't have an extra gentleman about that. So we have a website that's updated regularly throughout the season, so we know what people can link in and find out what's actually going on. This little booklet is based on a project. Now, if you remember, I mentioned professional skills earlier in the talk. A second year module that we run for students. Two student groups had to look at Borough Hillfort. This was a couple of years back. And then actually come up with some ideas for a 1 hour lesson plan, which they then go into the school and they deliver. So they work closely with the teacher. I'm just there as a mentor, but they have to do all the running around, all the communicating with the schools. So there's a lot of different skills that they have to use. So we worked, one of the schools was in Melton and one was with Summerby. That's the headmistress of Summerby Primary School. Summerby's the nearest primary school to Borough Hillfort, so we worked very closely with them because it's heritage on their doorstep. So the students came up with the ideas for the activities. They borrowed the costumes from the museum service. We had some funding to buy clay to make coil pots to show them how they would make pots in the Iron Age. Artifacts we borrowed from Harbour Museum, a lot of the artifacts there that were from prehistory that linked into the Hallerton exhibition. And then there's BBC, Kerry works on talking about a child's life and being a child in the Celtic period, where she put up pictures. There's a really good site for BBC Education talking about the Iron Age and the Celts. And then between the two groups, we've sort of picked out the best, because one of the groups had done a 52-page booklet for teachers as a resource. And we went, wow, you've put an awful lot of work into this, because they only have about 6 weeks to do this alongside all their other projects and essays. So they have done really well to get the information. But we just knew, talking to our teacher contacts, there's no way we've got time to look through a 52-page booklet. So it's had to be slimmed right down. And this is what our CBA placement, James, has been busy doing the last couple of weeks, putting this together so we can hand it out to the children when they come up on site. And then we do a follow-up visit in the autumn when we go back to the school to say, right, well, after you left, this is what else we found. So the last week and a half, we've been running sessions in the Medical Sciences building where we have a group in for 2 hours. We split them. One group comes in to us for 50 minutes and one group goes to genetics with Cass Cray, who's my counterpart over there. So he does lovely things like mashing up bananas and extracting DNA from them, tracing your family tree and making DNA bracelets. And then we came up with our sessions. And again, it was to show the collaboration between, because there's been so much collaboration between different departments, not just in the university, but with other universities like De Montfort and Loughborough. So it's anything we do now on the outreach, we need to focus on that to show people that universities are working together on this. So what we did, very short PowerPoint to talk about, because we don't know how much the children themselves actually know about Richard III. The teachers probably would have seen it on the news and so forth. We're not sure how much has been taught in schools. Short PowerPoint which talks through the archaeologists' involvement in it. How we got involved, how we found the site, what we found there. Did we know it was Richard III? No, we didn't at the time. And then the facial reconstruction at the end. And interestingly, we found a very nice photograph of Lord Farquhar from the film Shrek. Has anybody ever seen that film? It's an animated film. Watch it, because the guy who plays Lord Farquhar actually looks a bit like Richard III. Yeah, we put that up at the end and say, oh, coincidence? And then the kid's like, oh, yes, it does look like it, doesn't it? And then we have three activities, PowerPoint, and then they split up to three smaller groups, medieval pottery identification, to see if they can identify different types of materials. We show them the cards and see if they're right. Human bones, we're not allowed to use the skeleton of Richard III. Obviously, have to respect, have to explain it to children. So we introduced Gerald, our plastic skeleton, to them, which is always a bit amused about. But we use that as a comparison when we're talking about the different injuries and the evidence that was there to indicate that this was Richard III. Then we had Andy, who's one of our professional archaeologists that works for ULAS, was dressed up as a medieval knight because he's actually a reenactor in his own time, has all his own gear, which is very impressive. And the boys loved this one because it had all the weapons, and they actually got to hold the weapons, tried train mail on, and he talked about the injuries, which tied in nicely with the skeleton activity. So we've had over 400 children through, and it has gone down really well. The teachers have been very pleased with it, And yesterday we actually had parents come in as well. There's a project in Lessetman, Bridge Street Junior School, where the parents have been encouraged to work with the children, mostly children from an Asian background, so some of them, their English is not too good. But it was to sort of to help them, show them what's going on out there, to support. The photo's a bit fuzzy on this, unfortunately. Here's Andy up there on the top, that's the pottery there. Michael's one of our American students, the second year, was absolutely fantastic at engaging children. He was very enthusiastic. He was Andy's squire for the whole week, so he could learn about it, and was very enthusiastic with showing the weapons. Two of the girls actually thought he was a bit creepy. Mm-hmm. They said he's a bit too enthusiastic about talking about battle wounds and stuff. And Bethan's in our first year, so we had two first years, and this was a huge thing for them to do, to stand up. They've only just started learning about archaeology and ancient history, to stand up in front of groups of school children and teachers and talk about this. So they've done extremely well, all of them. And that's basically it. So, you know, we say to children, you know, are you interested in it? Talk about the different reasons why we think taking archaeology out to schools and wider community is good. And then hopefully teachers then book us to come into schools in the autumn term, spring term next year. But it's getting your foot in the door. That's the biggest hurdle, to get your foot in the door.
Yes. Have you got any thoughts on engaging with minority communities, particularly those who may not be particularly switched on to British history?
Yeah, we've done a little bit of work with them. Interestingly, the Council of British Archaeology, you gave us a bursary for this placement, which is community archaeology. She was down recently and said, we're now looking to try and get funding from government to actually run one, another bursary scheme where we can work with groups of different diversity. And I went, oh, Leicester, please, can we have some money come towards us? She said, well, yeah, we should be able to. Your city would be perfect for such a project. Mm-hmm. We've done one project, again, going back to second year's professional skills module, one of the projects was a faith trail that students worked on, and they contacted all the different churches and different faiths within the city and said, we want to produce a faith trail, would you help us if we come and had a meeting with you? And so they went to the Jain Temple, had a session there. They've been to the Catholic Churches, Church of England, you know, all the different faiths throughout Leicester, and they produced a faith trail which was produced in a booklet like this. And they've had these down in tourist information in city centre as well. If there's none there, we can give you copies. That's gone down really, really well. So we do want to expand more on working with groups, because some of the schools we've gone into, there was one in Highfields, we worked with a year six group, and all the children, with the exception of one, were from a Muslim background. And it was interesting because one of the boys said, well, what are you doing here? Why is it relevant to me? You know, it's British archaeology. And I said, well, no, that's the point. Archaeology is not just British. Archaeology is where any human person has lived. So if you were to go back to your parents' country of origin, India, Pakistan, or wherever, and you ask to dig in your grandma's garden, because people lived there a long time, I guarantee you will find archaeology. So that, as far as I'm concerned, there's no boundaries with archaeology.
I mean, do you play the international angle of much archaeology, obviously looking at Roman period? A lot of the Romans are coming from all over the empire, black centurions
exactly. Well, David, the teacher at Queensmead Primary Academy, that's something he feels very strongly about, because he's a basketball player. And of course, a lot of the lads he plays with are from Afro-Caribbean background, and quite often they used to say to him at school, well, why are you doing archaeology? It's all about British, all about white people. And he said, well, no, actually, it's not, because he'd already done research before he came to university and said what you just said, that they were black centurions, they were people based on Hadrian's Wall that were not white, they were from Africa, they were from, you know, the Far East, you know, they were part of the Roman army. So he started using that within his teaching in schools. And when they do the Romans and do other periods as well, just to show that the Britain is a mixture of all different groups, not just recently, but going back thousands of years. And we need to get that message across. Because with the recruitment we have, we don't attract many students from the Asian background or from the black community. And people say, well, why don't you? It seems to be predominantly white students that come through. And I said, well, basically what it is, it's one, it's down to money, because an archaeologist doesn't actually earn very much. You know, you do it because you're passionate about the subject. So you won't earn a big salary. And we had a technician working with Gurdjieff, and we asked her all this, can you give us some ideas? She said, well, because the parents want the children to succeed academically, and they want them to be in good, well-paid jobs. And unfortunately, she said, archaeology won't attract them for that reason. It's not so much to do with the history side, it's more to do with the financial side of it, and that's why we don't tend to
attract them. Putting aside the going to a career in archaeology, I mean, just engaging you know, pupils come from different parts of the world or got different heritages. Mm. I just wonder what your strategies were in terms of that.
We just try to tie it as much as possible with, if we know their background, we try to tie it as much as possible with the material that we have. But obviously there's some material, we're restricted in what material we do have. Mm. And there's very little from the Anglo-Saxon period because it doesn't survive very well in the soil. Vikings, we've got a little bit. We have no Egyptian artefacts because we don't actually do anything with Egyptology. But our research is all around the world. And I point that out to, we've got people who do work out in Borneo, we've got Ruth does a lot of work out in Pakistan, people who have worked in the Sahara, Libya, Tunisia, Cuba, South America. You know, so our archaeologists actually do research all around the world, and we just sort of play on that theme that the archaeology is everywhere.
But in terms of school groups, I suppose.